This is the day which the Lord has made. We will... little lackluster today. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will... oh, powerful all around. I love it. Every now and then. Every now and then we need a little reminder. We're doing this for the King. He needs to hear us proclaim this. And I love today when we sang our last song. And primarily just voices. And we need to be reminded every now and then, we're doing this for the King, and He needs and desires to hear us lift our voices up. Amen? He desires to hear us proclaim His name and His goodness and His greatness. Our scripture reading today is from Isaiah 60, verse 1 through 3 and part of 5. You don't have to turn there. It says, arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you. He will arise over you. And His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy. Let us pray. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word, and may the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, today I am excited as we begin our Advent season. And I'm excited about what it represents, what we're able to talk about, what we're able to look at and investigate over these upcoming weeks. And we're going to talk about hope. Now, Advent is a season that allows us to focus. And if you didn't get a copy of the bulletin that Laura's printed out, get a copy of that. It has wonderful things in it. And I love what it says. And it has daily scripture readings as well. Get in the habit of, even if you just use that as a beginning place for you to do a daily scripture reading, start with those brief scriptures and read them. And it's a time to focus on the anticipation and expectation of the coming King as we celebrate His birth and His upcoming birth. Now, I looked up the word hope in the dictionary, and it has a couple different things, definitions for it. And it says, hope, a feeling of expectation. Now, as Christians, we should have a great feeling of expectation. It's seeing the King and about celebrating His birth. It said a feeling of trust. I know we talked in Bible study several weeks ago about replacing the word hope with trust and different words, faith with trust. But hope is a feeling of trust. And then I found this one interesting. And it said, hope, to cherish a desire with anticipation. And I really like that one. To cherish a desire with anticipation. Man, we've got this desire of the anticipation of the coming King. And think about the people for hundreds and thousands of years had heard about this coming King. And this guy was going to save the world. And as Lori mentioned earlier, how long are you willing to wait for things? Boy, some of us are very impatient. I find myself becoming very impatient when I push the button on the computer and it doesn't instantly pop up something. You see a little spinning wheel at the top. I'm thinking, what now? Oh my Lord, that hit a button, it should pop up immediately for me. I see some of you nodding your heads, you understand. Okay, maybe it's the drive-thru. Oh my gosh, what took them more than 3 minutes to get my order? Did you have a special order? Yeah, but it's not supposed to upset them. Okay, but they have to redo it, okay? We run out of patience. Now this time of year, great, great opportunities to show people our level of patience. The highways get a little busier on certain days. The parking lots get a little fuller. The lines get longer. The fuses get shorter. Man, hope, a feeling of expectation, a feeling of trust, to cherish a desire with anticipation. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. And this is where I really want to start off. And you may think, oh, goodness, we're starting off Advent. He's not even talking about the birth of Christ. Well, we are. We're talking about our hope and where our hope lies. 1 Peter's at the end of the New Testament, almost at the very end. In chapter 3, verse 8 through 12 is what we'll read first, and then we'll be reading 13 through 17. And it says, and I want you to listen carefully what we're reading and how it pertains to hope. Now, as we get ready to read this, I want you to think about a couple things when we talk about communion. When we did communion just a minute ago, it signified a couple things. It's a simple act. We come up, we take the bread, and we take the juice. Now, I don't mean that it's simple in the fact that it doesn't matter. I'm talking about it's a simple act. We come up and we do that. It's a reminder. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. For as often as you eat of it and drink of it, do this in remembrance. It is a reminder. It's a symbol also, symbolic of his body and his sacrifice for us. And it's a statement of our faith. Communion is a statement of our faith. So as we read these scriptures today, I want you to think about those four areas and just think about what we're reading and where your life lines up with these. Finally, this is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind. Now, we could stop right there and just have great discussion. Say, hey, all of you need you to be of one mind. All of you be of one mind and you be of one mind. And each group could say, okay, we're of one mind. And then put together the three and say, now, are you of one mind? And you may not be. You heard earlier, we were not of one mind. It's this Saturday. No, it's next Saturday. It's next Saturday. No, it's this Saturday. We were not of one mind. When we come together in one mind, we know that on December 9th is our party. Okay? It sounds simple, but it's really not. It takes a lot of work to be of one mind. Be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Again, we could stop at each one of these. Have compassion for one another. And I apologize. I want to read through this and I want to get through this, but I'm afraid I'll miss opportunities to explain these different things. And I'll have a little admission here, okay? Although my admission isn't guilt, okay? When I drive past these people holding up signs, I generally just keep on driving. I'm not convicted to give to those people. It may be a trust. It may be a discernment. It may be whatever. But I saw one the other day as I exited the highway. Place that I often exit. And I hadn't seen these people. It was a husband and wife. And God just said, okay, give to them everything you have in your pocket. Immediately I'm going, oh, is it a lot or a little today? Oh, my Lord, what is it? But instantly I said, okay. And I pulled out my money. Light was green, so I had to keep going. So I just wrinkled it up and just threw it out the window at him. And I thought, I hope he doesn't think I'm just throwing my trash out at him. But it says, have compassion. Now, each one of us has our own level of discernment and conviction that is different than one another. But where we're like-minded is to have compassion for one another. Please don't try and put my level of conviction on you. And please don't try and put your level of conviction on them. Okay, we can't do that. God uses us differently. We have different gifts. We have different levels of conviction. Now, sometimes that conviction is an awareness. Sometimes it's wisdom and knowledge of it. But our like-mindedness says, have compassion for one another, doing things differently as God leads you to do for them. We have an opportunity in about a month to go back to the food bank. January 9th, I think, something right around there, Thursday, 11th. I did that the other day. Someone said, on a Tuesday? You usually go on Thursday. They knew what date it was. January 11th. I can think, hey, everybody, have compassion. Let's be like-minded. Let's show up in great force. And some of you say, I'm just not convicted to go there, nor am I able to physically do that, nor do I have time. Okay, find another way to have compassion for one another. Love is brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. We think that word courteous is easy for us as Christians. It's not. Okay? Be courteous. Think about somebody that you've talked and been short with in the last week that you weren't courteous with. Someone you know or don't know. You may need to increase your level of courtesy towards your spouse, your children, your parents, your co-workers. Those people in line at the store that you're trying to get ahead of them. And they got right before you with their gigantic basket and trailing with a second basket. And all you have is a giant salami you wanted to buy for the Dilly Christmas party next Saturday. Okay? And you're thinking, oh, why did they go in front of me? Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, listen carefully, blessing. On the contrary, blessing. Why? Knowing that you were called to this, to bless other people, that you may inherit a blessing. I'm going to bless them knowing that I will inherit one. They don't say, well, they should have let me in, or this person should have let me in. And then I got stuck in the parking lot and this person blocked me in. Do it because you were called to this, knowing that you will inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Our lips and tongues, people. My lips and my tongue have got me in some trouble in the past. And I pray that God says, you got it and you can use it. Just don't use it right now, Adam, because I know what you want to say. Refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. We should be going after peace. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That's a powerful statement for us as Christians to say, this is the way we should be. And there's many other scriptures. We should do this, we should do this, we should not do this, we should not do that. So let's go on a little bit further as we get into hope and talking about hope. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? What is he asking there? Who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. You understand what he's saying? If we belong to God, how could we be harmed in the things we do? If we're pursuing peace and following good and doing good to others. But even if we should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Remember Paul in jail? Man, I'm in chains. I'm in jail. I'm a prisoner. And then Paul gets beat with his buddy. And they're left saying, man, Eric, how blessed are we in ministry to be beat for his name's sake. Every time I read that, I think of Eric and I in ministry and being beaten. We weren't beaten. But if we were beat, just going, man, how lucky are we? They just beat us for his name's sake. Hallelujah. You are blessed when you suffer for righteousness' sake. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. It quotes. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set him apart in your hearts. And now listen to this. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. but do it with meekness and with fear. I asked a handful of people over the last couple weeks, hey, what's the hope in you? When somebody comes up and says, why do you get out of bed each day? What is your hope? And what do you tell them? We need to ask ourselves that question. What is our hope? What is our purpose for getting up each day? Having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Let me go back to that. When they defame you as evildoers, but we have good conduct. Oh my Lord, the news is swirling with crazy stuff these days. And we could easily jump on the bandwagon to say, everyone else is doing it, I can do it. No one else got caught, I won't get caught. Let's talk about all the negative. Oh my gosh, yeah, let's talk. Or we can say, you know, I know my character and my hope. And when they try and drag me through the mud, I want my character to stand. Something in our work that I learned years ago was we hire people for skills and abilities. Man, you've got great skills and abilities. I want to hire you. But then we end up terminating them for character flaws. Oh man, I hired them because they had these great skills and abilities. They could do everything we needed them to do. But what about their character? You know, I really didn't delve into that because I didn't care. Because I really needed someone to fill this spot. What'd you fire them for? They stole. They threatened people. They disrespected people. Sexual harassment, whatever. They did drugs on the job. You see, our character has to be as high and as visible as our skills and abilities. I've always been proud to go in a job and they said, tell us about your skills and abilities. Well, I can do this. What else can you tell me about yourself? Man, I think if you talk to people that know me, they'd say I'm trustworthy. I'm dependable. If I say I'll be there, I'll be there. I'm not late. I'm on time. They can rely on me. I've been fortunate to work with some people for many, many years in different jobs and continue to work with them. And I always said, part of my job is integrity. I'm a man of integrity. It says, I want to do this. If my job says you have to do this, then I want to do it. And one of the things used to be to count money. Every day when you start your shift, you count money, you verify it. Every night, you verify it. And I worked with a young lady that I've known for many years. And she worked in that department. And she always, her job was to do the money. And then I came in after that and would audit. It is very easy for me to go and say, I trust this person. I trust this person completely. But guess what I did every day when I walked in there? Counted that money after they did. Because my job required it. As a supervisor, I used to go to different stores, and I walked in a store and I pulled out their sheet that says, yes, I did it, I did it, I did it. I said, did you verify the safe last night? Yes, I did. Okay, I see that by the report you signed off. Did you collect all the cash drawers? Yes, okay. Was there any money left in any of the tills after you pulled out the drawers? No. Okay. Walk with me out here. Let's walk. Okay, here's a till sitting in the register with the drawer out. We were to leave the drawers open. So we can see nothing was in it. But here's a till full of money. Underneath it, you got $600 underneath here. There's no way you could have counted the safe when all this money's out here. God says, man, you can't pencil whip your character report. Because I know it and others know it. But when they try and drag your bad name, your character will stand for itself. But even if you have to be punished, and they look like idiots saying he's no good, and you stand and say, my character is this. You know I didn't do that. One of the recent news things said, well, not everything's quite the way they say. And I didn't see it this way, but there was enough truth in it that I've harmed people. Our character can't be such that we say, well, there's enough truth in that, okay, I'm associated with some of that stuff. For it's better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil in God's eyes. Our character has to be such that it stands on its own. When we look at hope, we have to be willing to tell people about that. We have to be willing, in the first set of verses that I read, to show people through our actions. We're one-minded. We have compassion. We're courteous. We love people as brothers. We're tender-hearted. We don't repay evil for evil. We bless other people. We can show them our hope. And we can tell them our hope. My message title today, not that it matters to you, but it's show and tell. I wasn't going to do this, but I just decided to, so I will. I thought about it. Can you imagine walking around work all day with this thing under your arm? And somebody at some point is going to say, hey, what are you doing with that? Man, I was hoping, hey, I brought this for show and tell. I want to tell you about the hope that is within me. And I want to tell you what Jesus Christ has done for me. And I want to tell you about the hope that He's given me. Great. Now go to second hour. Can you imagine carrying this around school? Wearing it like a sandwich board? Hey, what is it? Man, I want to show people the hope that is within me. And I want to tell them about it. You see, show and tell isn't just for kindergarten, first grade, second grade. Hey, I got this neat little penny, and it's a rare one. Hey, I've got this neat little gift. Not everybody has this, but I want to bring this today and share this. I'll never forget in college, in a speech class I had, a guy did a speech, and we had to convince people of something. And he chose to convince them of the existence of Jesus Christ. I thought, man, how bold is that? He chose to tell people about Jesus Christ in his speech. And I picked something silly like music. Told people about the importance of music in life. But he told them about the importance of the living Savior in their life. And I thought, oh, I wish I had the boldness that he had back then. So this tells us we should behave this way. Then we should be willing to tell people about what our hope is. Now turn, if you would, to 1 John. That's just a little bit before 1 Peter. 1 John chapter 3. I'm sorry, John is after that. I'm going to my next scripture ahead of that. John is after that. But in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, it says, we are now children of God. Now this is for the believers. We are now children of God. It hasn't been revealed what we should be yet, it says. But we know when it is revealed. Listen carefully. When it is revealed, we shall be like Him. It isn't revealed yet as children of God. But when it is revealed, we know that we shall be like Him because we will see Him as He is. That's 1 John 3, verse 2 and 3. And then it goes on just a little bit past that. It says, now everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. So when we have that hope in Jesus Christ, it purifies us just as He is pure. When He reveals Himself and we see Him for who and what He is, and we are to be like Him. Now I apologize if you'll turn to 1 Timothy, which was a little bit before that. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 1. And I'll be honest, you don't have to turn there if you don't want. I'm just going to read one verse that's his introduction. But I want you to hear carefully what he says. And it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Oh, he's got it all lined out there. Hey, it's me, Paul. Timothy, I'm writing you this letter. Well, who are you? I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ. Who's that? Our hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. And I said many, many weeks ago, I talked about what hope is. And I said, hope is a thing that stands on one side or the other of people's situations. I cannot get through this if I don't have hope. I can't get through this if I don't see and hear that there's hope out there. Think about addicts, people that are addicted to various things. Healing and getting over that is seeing, knowing, hearing, watching, but believing that there is hope for them to overcome. Amen? I can't get through this if I don't know that there's a possibility that I will. It's faith. See, the world says, in their hope, man, I hope so. I hope the Sooners win. I hope the Cowboys win. One of them's going to lose. One of them's going to win. And each year it may be different. But the world says, I hope so. But for Christians that have hope and have faith, we say, I don't go in this thing and say, I hope so. I know so. I know through my faith that this will happen. The Christmas season holds so many opportunities for us to tell others. I'm going to give you this to carry around school Monday, okay? You mind carrying that for me Monday at school? I'm just kidding, I won't do it for you. Or I won't do that to you. But could you imagine? But listen carefully. You are a highly decorated softball player now. Many awards, by the way, of this young lady for the Choctaw softball team. Each week you open the paper and like, oh, again, oh, again, oh, again. Highly decorated softball player for Choctaw Yellow Jackets. Can you imagine the opportunities you have to show and tell people about hope? Now, every one of us have a different place and a different way to do the same thing. Well, I don't interact that much. Then you should take advantage of every opportunity you have to show and tell people about the hope that is within you. Because you've got a much limited time frame to do it in. And if you miss it, skip it, don't take advantage of it. It's going to be a while before you have that opportunity again. So we have many opportunities to show and tell people about this. And what is this? It's hope. You see, to those that don't believe or those that may be struggling that are believers, we have to be their hope. To those that don't know about Jesus Christ, we don't have to be. We are their hope. We are their hope. To show them through our actions. We don't always get to use our words. It's just simple actions that we get to witness from afar sometimes. Or that others witness in us from afar. Other times it's our words. They get a snapshot this big of our actions, but they get a snapshot this big of our words. In the stores that we shop in. In the parking lots that we pull into, in the parking spaces that are up front, in the lines that are long, in the people that are struggling, we have opportunity to show and tell people about the hope that is within us, the hope through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as we go into this Advent season and this holiday season, God, first help us just to acknowledge that you and you alone are our hope. Where we look for satisfaction in other areas of life. Where we hope for things that we think will satisfy us. Let us discover true hope that's found in faith and trust and found in you. Let us take opportunity to be courteous to one another, to show patience to one another, to have compassion, to become like-minded and of one mind. Lord, where people hurt us and harm us, may we not repay them with evil and retribution. May we understand, as your word said, it's better for us to suffer doing your will and doing good than to stray from that so we don't suffer. God, I ask as we go into this Advent season that you would draw us closer to you, closer to one another, closer to your word. That you would open up your word to become alive in us so that we can become alive in you. Guide us as we go out this week, Lord. Help direct our actions towards one another. And Lord, our mouth and tongue towards those we know and don't know. Help us to draw back when we want to lash out. Help us to show patience when we're tired and exhausted. And help us to show the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, where your word said, "Arise, shine, for the light has come. For the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Lord, let it rise upon each one of us, and let it rise within each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.